Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Proverbs 14. I'd like for us to look this morning at one verse of Scripture, verse 23. Proverbs 14, 23. The Scripture says, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury." Now this passage of Scripture deals with two extremes. Number one, it deals with labor that absolutely assures profit. And then it deals with talk that assures poverty. I've entitled this message, Profit and Loss. Profit and Loss. In all labor. Now this, we know that whatever the Scripture says is so. We know that. This Word is God's Word. It's profitable for correction, for instruction in righteousness, reproof, rebuke. In all labor. Now the key to understanding this opening truth is the word all. This is where we would all do well to look at the words that are being said. Never assume that you know what a word means. The word all here means perfect, to make perfect, or completed. That's what the word all there means. It doesn't mean what we normally think of just anything or everything. The word means perfect, to make perfect, completed. Now, knowing the meaning of this word absolutely is going to eliminate any labor that we can do. Perfect labor. To make perfect labor, completed labor before God. Now I know that a believer does labor. I know that. Scripture, 1 Corinthians 3:9, "For we are laborers together with God." You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. Apostle Paul said, Church of Corinth, 1 Corinthians 15:10, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace was bestowed upon me. It's not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than them all." And then Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, wrote these final words on that passage of Scripture, "Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." God's people do labor. They walk. They seek. Not for salvation, but as the result of, the effect of. Now, the Apostle Paul declared that by the unmerited blessing of God, he didn't deserve it in himself, that he was what he was. And he defended his authority and magnified his office as an apostle by declaring that the gifts and the grace of God that was bestowed upon him were not in vain. Almighty God does not do something and it be empty and worthless and unprofitable. What God Almighty does, God does. And it is. And he accomplishes. God's not trying to do anything. If Almighty God is going to save a sinner, He's going to save that sinner. He shall not fail. We just read that. But Paul was careful, and every believer is, to absolutely ascribe nothing, no profit to himself, but all to the grace of God that enabled him to believe and to walk with, to bow to, and to serve the Lord. Luke 17, starting in verse 7, the Scripture sets forth this truth. Luke 17:7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he's come from the field, "Go and sit down to meat," and will not rather say unto him, "Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I've eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink"? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which were commanded you, say, "We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." Almighty God calls His people and places them where He does in His body. He calls them to whatever position, every office, whatever that position is. You say, "Well, He didn't call me to be a preacher." He called you to come here. Be faithful to that. He calls you to pray for one another. Be faithful to that. He calls you to give of the increase. Be faithful to that. Wherever Almighty God has called you, be faithful. But when we've done all that we've done, we are just unprofitable servants. We haven't added one thing to the glory of God. We've done that which was our duty to do. It is my duty to study. Somebody said, "Well, you know, don't you think that the Lord will just give you a message and you can just kind of wing it?" No. If I stand up here to wing it, I'm telling you, never has it entered into your mind. You say, "Well, Marvin, it seemed like to me all the years you've been preaching, I mean, and basically you're saying the same thing every time, seems to me, that you'd be able to just start." The thought of coming into this pulpit, having not got into God's Word and searched that Scripture and asked God's blessing, and asking God's blessing while you're standing here, scares me to death. Where would I go? Empty. It is my duty to be prepared, to study. Oh, how very, very low before Almighty God must His people lay. Ministers and those that hear, as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, I'll tell you the evidence. I've said this before. I'll tell you the evidence of growing in grace. You find a people that are just in themselves. They absolutely have no confidence. And they come before Him, hearing His gospel faithfully, hearing His gospel, seeking, asking, knocking. And the more Almighty God shows them of Himself, the more lowly they see themselves, grieving in themselves, trying. That's growing in grace. I mean, this little old fake facade that you see on television and everybody, I mean, hooping and hollering and stuff. That's a circus. That's a circus. That's a game. That's all that is. It's just a big game. Playing, that's all they're doing is playing. God's people, they want to hear what God has to say. And I'll tell you another thing too. They want to be quiet. But all the earth keeps silence before Him. In all labor, there's profit. So therefore, I know this. Though we do labor as servants of the Most High God, it doesn't speak of us at all labor. But calling to remember that it means perfect. Completed. Let's talk about the labor of Him that's profitable. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. His work is perfect. His work is all, in all labor. His labor. Therefore, His labor is essential. Psalm 127:1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." In this all labor, this perfect labor, this completed labor, there is profit. It's going to get the job done. The Lord will accomplish. Therefore, it's absolutely essential. The builders of the Tower of Babel. Oh, what a perfect picture. This is a perfect picture of man by nature. Here's what they said. "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." But in vain they toiled. Why? The Lord confounded them. He brought to nothing everything that they were doing. The Lord Jesus Christ said, John 15:5, "I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Nothing. Ephesians 2, verse 19. The Scripture says, "Now therefore, you're no more strangers, foreigners, but your fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Did you notice who was doing the building? His labor is essential. The Lord's people are not strangers to Him. They're citizens of the city of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation upon whom they are builded, placed, built up. The labor of Christ is essential. All labor. There is profit. Secondly, the labor of the Lord is accepted. At His baptism on the Mount of the Transfiguration, this is what Scripture says. A voice was heard from heaven. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Now, there is no scripture that more clearly sets forth the absolute perfection of the work, of the labor of the Lord Jesus Christ in the redemption of His people. God the Father is well pleased with Christ and all that's in Him. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He's going to show his people that there's no judgment to them. Oh, how comforting to know by faith that as the Father is infinitely, eternally, finally, well pleased with the Son. His sacrifice is the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. God is well pleased with His assumption of our nature. He's well pleased with His obedience to the law. He's bringing in an everlasting righteousness right now. Saving His people, calling them out, comforting His people. Finally, eternally, assuredly, He's not going to fail. God's made us the righteousness of God in Him. In Christ, God Almighty has everlastingly loved His people. And those in Him, here's our security. Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Loving Him, He loves His people. His labor is absolutely effectual. That's the third thing. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, He said, "It's finished." And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. I went back to look at that word. Gave up. As I've said before, listen. You'll read these words. He gave up the ghost. I looked at it. It said, He surrendered and entrusted. Isn't that what we're doing right now? Entrusting, surrendering, being found in Him. As He surrendered His Spirit, gave up the ghost, we entrust our eternal soul to Him who alone is our hope. Here we behold the Lord Jesus Christ upon His cross as the sacrificer, the priest, the sacrifice, and the altar, crying forth, "It." Think about that. It. When He said, "It is finished." It. It. All that the Father had given Him to do. All that the Father had entrusted into His hands. All that the Father everlastingly loved. Everything. Everything. Summed up in that one word. It. Is finished. It's finished. It's finished. I am so thankful that He did not leave my salvation in my hands. I am so thankful that He did not entrust my well-being, my keeping of my soul to me. I love salvation by the grace of God. I love the sound of God's purpose and God's will. And God's election and God's predestination and the assuredness of that blessed salvation in Christ. You might say, "Well, that just make you just want to just, you know, let it all go to the wind and stuff." Oh, no, sir. Not a believer. Not a believer. I'm telling you, when you find a person that's just, that has that attitude, I'm telling you, you're looking at an unbeliever. I don't care what they claim to believe. I don't care what they claim to believe. They're lost. No, a believer, by Almighty God dwelling in them, He keeps them by power, willing to come, willing to call. They are continually coming. They come and they come and they come and they come. He that cometh to me, they're coming right now. And if He allows them to live one more second, they'll be coming them too. He that cometh and cometh. Lord, calls me to hear. Lord, calls me to see. Calls me to knock. Lord, keep me by Your grace. It is finished. The apostle says we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I got to thinking about that scripture. More than conquerors. Now you could say, okay, now we know this. Are we conquerors in Him who has conquered? Yes. Yes. But what does it mean that we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us? More? Yes. Here's what it is. Not only are we victorious in Christ, the captain of our salvation, but even the afflictions and trials of our warfare. And that's what was being spoken of right there. The warfare that we go through. Humanly speaking, any conqueror that went through battle, all the great generals, all of them, you know, they were victorious. But I'll tell you this, in that victory, there was a lot of loss. There was a lot of bloodshed. They lost some friends. They lost some close ties. There were some things that got destroyed. Not here. Not here. Even the afflictions and the trials magnify His glory and therefore our good. All things work together for good. We're more than conquerors. Everything. There's no loss. There's no loss. Everything is yea and amen. His essential, accepted, effectual labor. Openly displayed by the Father when 3 days after being buried, He rose from the grave, ascended into heaven, and now ever liveth. He ever liveth. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. I told you this before, but it just came to my mind again. You take a man that loves his wife, loves his family. Said he just lives for them. He just lives for them. He lives for them. Well, I understand that, I guess. But concerning Him, He ever liveth to make intercession for us. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. The context of this passage would lead us to know, just taking it in the context, it's talking about all labor or talk. Just talk. Just vain chatter. Vain talk. Empty talk. The talk of the lips tendeth only to penury, loss, emptiness, nothingness, vanity. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In closing, Romans 16. Romans 16:17-18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. For they are such, they serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, their own heart, their own desires. And by good words, fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. I was talking to one of my family yesterday, and he told me about a situation that he was in. He was perplexed on what to do. He was telling me that a friend of his had confessed to him he'd been unfaithful with his wife. But he made this statement. He said, "But I'm telling you," he said, I want to be faithful. I want to be honorable to the Lord. I'm being, you know, not faithful to my wife, but I really love God." And I told my son-in-law, I said, "He's a liar. He's a liar." "No, he's not. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Talk tendeth to penury, loss. Draw nigh to me with their lips, their heart far from me." Oh, bless the Lord that He who is all powerful, all His labor, perfect labor, there's profit. That's exactly what we looked at in that first service this morning. You call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people. Lord, bless these words to our heart. Lord, cause us to hear fresh. Help us according to Your good pleasure, for Christ's sake.